Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Inside Dish. The latest from Hollywood. Up-to-date sports stats. Movie reviews. Celebrity interviews. Insider info from sports legends. Sit back, relax, and get served all the latest from Hollywood and sports around the world. With your hosts, Sean Piccinino, Steve Pisa, Timeless, and Guy Grundy. About that time. Chefs are in the kitchen. Get your silverware ready for the inside dish. Today's show brought to you by Sports City Chefs, iStunt.com, GuyGrundy.com, AKFColorado.com, and Truly Indie Studios.
All right. We are live on the radio. Welcome to the program. Before we get started, I'd like to thank all of our sponsors. And I want to just real quickly let the listeners know that if you guys want to find out any information about the show, you can look us up on Facebook. That's facebook.com/theinsidedish. And you guys can find out all about the show, the celebrity guests, giveaways, etc. All right. I'm excited about our new show. But before we get going, I want to introduce all of our hosts. So first, we have a martial arts master and writer, Steve Pisa. Steve, why don't you tell the listeners about yourself?
Hi, everybody. My name is Steve Pisa. I'm from the Academy of Kung Fu, Louisville, Boulder, / Lafayette. We're the only school in Colorado that teaches peaceful mind away. We've been over here for about 32 years. You can reach me at akfcolorado.com. I'm also a screenwriter. Sean Piccinino and I have written about 7 scripts together, as well as I've written novels. So check me out on Facebook at Steve Pisa, P-I-S-A, or at akfcolorado.com.
Very nice. All right, and next we have two-time Mr. Australia bodybuilding champion Hollywood actor Guy Grundy. Grundy, give him the pitch, mate.
G'day, mate. How you doing, Sean?
Tell
Good
the
to be here with you fellas. As Sean said, I'm two-time Mr. Australia. I've been a former professional rugby player. I wasn't able to read or write at 17, yet somehow I've arrived here in America. I'm a U.S. citizen and pretty much living the dream. Been getting into acting, which has always been I've seen a poster of Arnold for The Terminator. So I'm here and I'm honored to be a part of this show.
Guy, tell the listeners where they can find out more about you.
Guys, you can get me at GuyGrundy.com or just put in Google or whatever my name, Guy Grundy, and you'll come up with a various search results there on Facebook. I do a lot of Facebooking, so please join in and let me know you heard me through the dish, and I'll give you extra love.
Very nice. Next host we have is Sports City Chef founder and radio personality extraordinaire Ty Powell, a.k.a. Timeless. The floor is yours, Ty.
Well, I done took off my blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive, man. Thank you for everybody that's been supporting us, checking us out, all the inside this love that we've been getting throughout the past week and a half. The show is finally here. I'm blessed to have these three individuals and two awesome guests. We got a great show lined up for you. I can't wait to kick this thing off. Just like they've been throwing out notables, sportscitychefs.com is a website where you can find everything out about everything that goes on in this kitchen with the interviews, the blogs, and the chefs. We even had Grundy on another interview here, so he knows his way around this kitchen. You just got to get him some good food, and he'll be all right. And I feel like we're ready to take flight, man. I hope these boys are ready, man. They better stand back. My glow might be a little too bright.
We love your glow. And lastly, myself, I'm Sean Piccinino, an actor-director from Los Angeles. I have a movie about to release, so be on the lookout for that. It's called The Lackey. It's going to be hitting DVD shelves and Netflix, Hulu, the whole yard, coming up here soon. And if you want to find out more about myself and my projects, you can just hit me up on my website, which is seanpiccinino.com. That's SHAUNPICCININO.com. Or you can find me on Facebook, / Sean Piccinino. All right, enough of that. So just to let you guys know, we got some great guests lined up today. Hollywood action star Randall Archer and IFBB Pro fitness champion Sasha Brown. It's going to be great to have them on. But first, we got to get into the Hollywood Wrap with Steve Pisa.
Hollywood.
Hollywood.
It's Hollywood.
The stars have come out tonight, Jim.
Story.
Latest development.
That's the Hollywood Wrap.
Hollywood Wrap.
Well, welcome to the Hollywood Wrap. The news this time, right now, is going to be about the Golden Globes 2013, hosted by Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. This is a fantastic show, one of the highest-rated Golden Globes, I believe, in history right now. If you watch the show, it was incredibly funny. Let me read off a couple of the winners here. Best Motion Picture for Drama was Argo, which was quite a shock for a lot of people. Best Motion Picture for Comedy or Musical was Les Miserables. Best Actress for Drama was Catherine Chatham, Zero Dark Thirty. Best Actor, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln, of course. Best Actress, Comedy or Musical was Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Lining Playbook. Best Actor, Comedy or Musical was Hugh Jackman for Les Miserables. Best Director was Ben Affleck for Gargo. Best Supporting Actress, Anne Hathaway for Les Miserables. Best Foreign Actor was Christopher Waltz for Django, The Sea of Silence. Best Foreign Language Film was Amor. Best Animated Film was Brave. Best Screenplay was Quentin Tarantino, which was fantastic, by the way. Best Rhythm Score was for The Life of Pi, and Best Original Song was for Skyfall. Unfortunately, Taylor Swift lost that one. So those were our winners for the Golden Globes. Any words from you guys on the winners and losers of the Golden Globes?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to chime in. I thought there were some pretty interesting things happening there. I'm not sure if I agreed with all those wins. Steve, what was your favorite film out of the bunch? What did you think should have won Best Picture?
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people said Zero Dark Thirty, but, you know, it tried to be more of a Schindler's List than it needed to be, so I didn't like that very much. Argo was a fantastic film. I think Django should have won, personally. Django was an original screenplay written by Quentin Tarantino, an original thought, an original cast. As far as originality goes, that's what I believe should have won. What do you think?
You know, I'm a big Tarantino fan, and I was shocked just to see him get as many nominations as he got. Never did I think he would actually win anything. So he's getting a lot of love these last couple of years. I'm pretty shocked. What about you other guys? Ty, Timeless, Grundy.
Grundy, what do you think of Best Picture?
I'll let Guy go first, but I do want to know the nominations that they were competing with.
It was Django, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and Zero Dark Thirty. So it was Argo, Django, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and Zero Dark Thirty. Lincoln was a great film. Life of Pi was Ang Lee's more fantastical imagery, just a blast to the eyeballs. Zero Dark Thirty was an okay film, but if you want to compare it to The Hurt Locker, it certainly didn't see as much. And then when you go to Django was just an excellent film. I think it just hit so many points of disagreements with the populace that a lot of people had a hard time maybe having it win for Best Picture. Argo, I thought it was a fairly middle-of-the-line film. It really strung right down the middle. Good quality film. Ben Affleck was definitely deserving of an Oscar in his future or a Golden Globe. It just happened a little sooner than we thought.
I got all the screeners, Guy, go ahead. Which film did you think should have won Best Picture?
I'm going to go with Mr. Hollywood there, Steve Teaser. I'm not going to ever disagree with him in the claw. That's not a wise thing for any man to do. I'm into the action. I understand you and Steve have got more of the theatrical, but I thought, I'm not even going to try to say it. You say it for me, Steve. The movie, how would I say it? So I thought it was great to have Quentin up there. I love the action. There was a story involved. I love DiCaprio. I had the opportunity of working with him on Shutter Island. So I just thought that was a great combination with Jamie Foxx. So I'm definitely going there with The Claw and Mr. Hollywood.
Nice. How about you, Tyson? What do you think?
I guess I got to stick with the culture thing, and I am a big Jamie Foxx fan, so I'm going to roll with Django. But the one thing that I did hear about this situation was I heard that Leonardo DiCaprio and Jamie got into a scuffle. I don't know how true that situation is, but it's interesting that they actually, you know, indulged into a film like this, and it got to the better of the emotions of Jamie Foxx. But, you know, if there's more than just you going out there and acting, and actually letting it get to you, you know, within the realm of your brain and also getting into a physical altercation, I mean, that has to have some big standpoint, if you will. And, you know, I'm going to be real. We are family here. Like, I'm glad I met y'all, and I feel like I could clear the air. But race is evident. Race is always going to be evident out there in the world. And for it to be a situation where that could get picked apart, Quentin Tarantino taking care of business and putting together a film like this, I'd have to go with Django.
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
Good.
I was just going to say the performances were so incredible in that film, and Leonardo DiCaprio was so slimy. I wanted to fight him, you know, and it's like, you know, a lot of time these guys are method actors, you know, they get really into it. So you can imagine just the being there and being in that moment. How could these guys not fight? Because they're both so committed to their roles that, you know, just amazing performances all around.
Absolutely. The film was just fantastic. And if you want to look at a picture that was written by somebody, directed by somebody, produced by somebody, this was definitely it. And I understand that Argo was written by somebody else, but for a screenplay, it was written by somebody else. And then Ben Affleck acted in it and directed it. That's a lot of people involved in a project, and I greatly respect that. But the fact that Quentin Tarantino invested his entire soul, mind, and body into one film and did it all by himself, that's going to say just a little bit more to me than the other ones. But that was the Golden Globes, and I think a couple people were happy, and a couple people were dissatisfied. But that also goes into our Oscar snubs. Our Oscar snubs this year is going to be P.T. Anderson's The Master and Moonrise Kingdom. If you like Moonrise Kingdom, that got snubbed as well. But The Master from P.T. Anderson this year got snubbed. was quite a shock. Catherine Bigelow for Zero Dark Thirty got snubbed, as well as Ben Affleck got snubbed. Joaquin Phoenix got snubbed for Best Actor. Leonardo DiCaprio got passed over Best Supporting Actor. And as we thought, for the end of The Dark Knight, we believe that, just like in Lord of the Rings, the Return of the King, we believe that at that part, they would get all of their Oscars. We believe as The Dark Knight rises, that would be the moment that everybody would get their Oscars or their kudos, which nobody did. And then when you go into the Golden Globes, and when you go to the Oscars, they're basically really not nominated for anything. So it's pretty incredible. It says to us, who's watching these films, who's judging these films, and I would love to know them personally. What do you guys think of the Oscar snubs? Sean, let's start with you. What do you think of the Oscar snubs this year, starting with maybe The Master?
Yeah, you know, it's there's a lot of shockers this year, for sure. You have, you know, like Argo just winning all these awards, and then kind of the Oscars passing up on a lot of categories. So yeah, it's pretty interesting. It just seemed like just a couple of years ago, the Oscars were kind of turning, making a change a little bit to being a little more open-minded to films. And then this year kind of seems like it's maybe going back in the other direction. So I was pretty surprised by a lot of the picks.
Considering that they could pick 10 films for Best Picture, the fact that they didn't pick certain films, it's quite a shocker to me. Guy Grundy, what do you think of the picks for the Oscars, and how about some of the misses that are in there?
Mate, I think the biggest things that came out to me in both the awards, the Oscars, would have been obviously Ben Affleck, Argo getting bypassed. That was all over the news. It's almost, me, overshadowed the award winners. They talked more about he's not getting it. Then when you've got him getting vindicated at the Academy just going, but the biggest thing there was Jodie Foster. I've heard more about her talk and whatnot than anything. So it's funny that you'll always get someone from each Academy Award doing something or something happen, which will put more of a limelight on them than the award winners. So it's a funny thing where you're talking more about the guy who lost and then one getting vindicated, and then about Jodie Foster and her comments, which are all over the place. You've got Oprah Winfrey, everyone coming on it. So it's a thing of marketing, and it's an amazing thing. Does it overshadow the award winners, or does it add a bit of excitement and buzz to it? So really, same with awards. It depends on who you're looking at. I think it's a good thing. You know, I like attention, and these people are doing what they got to do. And I'm sure it could be a planned thing where they've been prepared to do that. I wouldn't put that past anyone. We're all in acting, we're all in marketing, and it's an image thing. So good on them. I'm real happy for Ben and Jodie, even though she likes girls. You know what? I like Jodie because she likes girls, and so do I. Well, I totally understand.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for that. You know, it's really interesting about Ben Affleck. Is, you know, Matt Damon was really getting a lot of kudos because of the film that he was making, the writing that he was doing, and what have you. And Ben Affleck was kind of behind. Even Family Guy made a joke about him sitting in the back couch while, you know, writing Good Will Hunting, smoking pot while Matt Damon wrote the script. And then there's two jokes about that, about Ben Affleck. And what's really interesting is Ben Affleck has really found his voice with Cry Baby Cry and The Town. And now this movie right here, Argo. Argo was a really good film. If you see the film, it's a really good film. Don't take my word for it. Just watch it. You'll see a differential between the serious issue of Iran and the kind of like frivolous issue of Hollywood and how it comes together. Ben Affleck does a marvelous job. Todd, what do you think of the Oscar snub this year?
Well, the big situation around Affleck, so I guess I got to go with that. And the one thing that I'm looking at with Ben Affleck is that a situation where did his snub come from all of his priors before this movie got aired this past year because of a couple of his last acts outside of I think the name of the movie was Red, if I'm not mistaken, where it was basically an action film, if I'm not mistaken. And some people felt a certain way about it, and some people were high about it. I don't know if this is a situation where he's trying to rebuild his character and get back on the scene for an Oscar situation, but evidently everybody's talking about Affleck being snubbed in the Best Actor situation.
Well, if you see Matt and Trey's film, the puppet movie, they have an entire song about Ben Affleck stinking inside of Pearl Harbor, the film. And it's very interesting to see how people did not like Ben Affleck, did not like Matt Damon around 10 years ago, and now they're the hot ticket. It just goes to show you that opinions vary, opinions change. I mean, you can even look back at Beethoven and Mozart and Chopin and Hemingway and see people bash them about their art when they first started off. And then later on, when they started making better films or better writing or better music, they started getting the kudos. Even Blade Runner got smashed back in the day, and people had to come out and apologize about that. Well, that was interesting news. Those were the Oscar snubs. Let me end now because my segment is almost over here. Let me end now on a little prediction of the future. Quentin Tarantino has been talking very recently about his next future projects. His next future project that he said that he wanted to work on is another a history revisionist film called Killer Crow. Now, just look up Killer Crow. Just type it on Google, and you'll find that at IMDb is his next film. You also see Kill Bill 3, which is kind of up in the air. But Killer Crow will kind of focus on a segment of African-American soldiers in World War II. They get kind of lost in Nazi Germany and have to fight their way out of it. So it's sort of a Dirty Dozen meets Escape. So that's Quentin Tarantino, what he said is going to be his next film. That'll be his third film in his revisionist series, one being Inglourious Basterds, second one being Django, and the third one being Killer Crow. Sean Pacino, any thoughts on Killer Crow or Quentin Tarantino's future?
I love Quentin Tarantino, so anything he's going to do, I'm going to see. So that's really all I have to say about that. He's one of my favorite filmmakers, one of my biggest influences as a filmmaker myself. So I can never go wrong with Tarantino.
No, you can never go wrong with Quentin Tarantino. Guy Grundy, what do you think, mate?
I never really disagree with Peach because he puts me in all his movies, so I'm going to agree with him again. Other than Peach, Quentin would be the guy I'd want to work with, but I'd rather work with Peach first.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. And as Sean said, I think that's one reason I was definitely drawn to his work and then the experience of working with him, is he does resemble that type of work. That's the first thing that I thought, so that's definitely something in there, and that's probably why I'm a big fan and why I get on so well with Sean and also Steve, who does the script writing for a lot of these features that we've got going. So I'm just happy to be a part of, you know, Quentin, he's got his team, but I'm going to say this, I'd be with this team over any team any day.
Oh, God, you know us. Sean Pacino and I have been writing for a very long time. We're still writing pieces, and Guy Grundy is a part of our team, and we love you very much. Ty, what do you think about Quentin Tarantino, his nomination for Best Screenplay, as well as Killer Crow in its future?
Well, the one thing about Quentin Tarantino, he's been doing it for, about 3 decades now, so but yeah. within the realm of three decades. So it's about time. Well, he's always got his consideration, and that's from the notable people that watch their movies. But right now, with such a controversial flick right now, you got to give Quentin his due for him to step up and have something like this and to be so controversial. You know what I mean? And him growing and him having this type of upbringing, too, is kind of interesting, too, where he grew up with a single mom and he had African-Americans all in his lifestyle. And just to kind of, like, walk the line, if you will, and actually kind of expose the situation how things went, even though a little bit of a, you know, was somewhat extreme, you know, you got to be proud about where Quentin has been and where he's gone and how well-developed of a director he could be. He could go action and you know, go into a situation where you're going to have this type of drama feature. All in all, I definitely tip my hat to what he presented as a movie director.
Yes, it's very interesting how people have very strong opinions about Quentin Tarantino. That says a lot about his character as well. Let me end on one little nitpick here. There's been a little bit of news going around that Zack Snyder has been working on a script for Star Wars. Mimicking it. Yes. They're saying that he's working on a script that is mimicking Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai in the Star Wars realm, not following the three stories that are going to continue on from now on, but are going to be new segments. That story's come out to be slightly false. And I'll give you a great little hint there. If you remember, if any of you are gigantic Star Wars fans, which I know we are, the two characters of R2-D2 and C-3PO are actually mimicked after the two characters of the Hidden Fortress from Akira Kurosawa's, I believe, his fifth or sixth film. To go back into the Seven Samurai would be quite ironic. So that's something that we can just say that's not happening.
Damn, so that should happen. That's a good idea.
You know, you know what? Maybe if we push it along on the internet, maybe you'll get the idea. But boys and girls, this is my wrap-up of the Hollywood Wrap. I hope you enjoyed my segment. This is my first time. I hope I was listenable, and I appreciate the time given.
Yes, we loved it.
Hollywood Wrap.
Hollywood Wrap. Very nice, very nice. Now we got to move on to our first celebrity guest. I'm really excited to have him on. This guy's doing all sorts of stuff. The guy's crazy action guy who's, you know, I'm just totally excited. So he definitely has found the recipe for success.
Breaking news, this just in. We've received insider information to the actual recipe for success.
All right. Randall Archer is our first celebrity guest on our first ever show. Very excited to have him on. Randy, go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hey, everyone. How are you doing out there? Thanks for tuning in. Hope we're listenable as well.
So, Randy, you know, we got lots to talk about with you. I'm really excited. You've got a movie right now. It's still in theaters in the U.S., and it's going to be hitting DVD and Blu-ray soon. We'll get that date from you in a second. It's called The Collection. I mean, this is a cool movie. I can't wait to talk about that. But before we get into that, I want to hear about, you know, tell the listeners about some of the work you've done. I know you've, like, Pirates of the Caribbean you've been a part of. You know, let's get into some of those exciting projects that you've done and some of the crazy stunts that you've done. Because I'm seeing you falling off buildings. You're, like, on fire. This stuff is crazy. I want to get into this. Tell the listeners.
Well, you know, I started my career doing live shows. There's a dinner theater show called Medieval Times, and started that when I was 19 years old. And I had done a Boy Scouts program. I had ridden horses, and then I went to a theater arts majoring high school, the Arts Magnet in Dallas, Texas. And we had done some sword fights and stuff like that. So we went to the show for my girlfriend's birthday, and I'm like, hey, I could do that. And I told the waiter, I said, hey, look, I'm going to be down on that show soon enough. You just wait and see. He's like, yeah, whatever, kid, whatever. And then next month I was down there working, and I did that show for 3 years, which led me to doing a variety of live shows, Six Flags Parks, Batman stunt shows. That brought me from Texas. That brought me out to L.A. I went back to San Antonio for a summer and did some theme park shows over there. So I went to Japan, worked over Japan for a year doing a Viking stunt show at a theme park in a little city, Wakayama. And that's where I met my wife, ironically, a Spanish girl who was working at the same theme park. So, you know, it's funny how like this job that we do allows us, you know, the benefit to travel around the world and do all kinds of things. But working back here in LA, you know, the live show scene, you meet a lot of the guys who are working in film and television as well. And so live shows is just a really good way to transition into that kind of work. Because, you know, I get asked a lot of times, you know, as on the stunt side of things, because that's my primary as a stuntman. I can act and do other things as well. But people ask me, you know, how do I become a stuntman? How do I become an actor? And I'm like, well, it's easier to become a stuntman than as an actor, but it's not that easy. So I oftentimes tell people, if you start in live shows, that gives you a good performance background, get a wide variety of stunts from motorcycles to falls off of buildings to...
Talk about that a little bit more. Like, you know, the skill set that you have to have. You have to have like a certain base of skills to become a stuntman or work in these live shows. Or is it something that, you know, I mean, does that benefit you to have like a specific skill that can help you get in, your foot in that door?
Absolutely. I think a good skill, I know some stuntmen who start as a gymnast, and that's their specialty, but from that they learn how to fight and they learn how to stuff. I know guys who are martial artists who started as martial artists specifically. I started doing horses and swords and went on to do more of that as much as I could. But, you know, once I started working for the Six Flags Parks, there's not a lot of sword work in the Batman shows. So I learned how to ride a motorcycle for that show. I learned how to do high falls on that show.
So pretty much it, being a badass is probably the skill set you need.
I mean, being a badass obviously is advantageous. You know, you need to be coordinated. And then certain people just have the abilities and certain people don't. And once you can find your abilities within the stunt world, you want to focus on that. But you always want to train and diversify your skills. And live shows are good because in the one live show here in California – we were doing high falls, we were doing wire work, we were doing fights, we were doing cars and motorcycles. And, I mean, you can't get that kind of training in any place and get paid for it. Usually you would have to pay someone to teach you all of those things. And it's a great transition into film.
So tell us a little bit more about some of the big projects you've worked on, some of the biggest ones that you've worked on, and how that experience was.
Well, some of my bigger projects are most recently Pirates of the Caribbean. The Abduction, Green Hornet. I actually got to be the stunt double for Seth Rogen.
Yeah, you were the stunt double for the Green Hornet, right?
Yeah, I certainly was.
How was that? What was that like? And do you get hurt on these films? I mean, you're doing some crazy falls. I remember seeing in that film you falling from like, you know, a couple stories and you're like ping ponging off of different objects. You're like hitting your head on one thing and then flipping over and smashing your face on another thing, all the way down, you know, these levels.
Well, that was a 26-foot fall. I had to jump onto a pole, bounce off of that from my chest, fall about 6 feet down and 6 feet back, bounce off my back off another pole, and then down to the ground. I was caught on wires, so I never actually had to hit the ground on that one. And then we just cut to a shot of Seth just jumping on the ground, acting like he was in pain, getting up and running off.
That's intense. That's crazy. Yeah. So you're free falling for all of that, but they had wires, you said, that catch you from hitting the ground.
Yeah, I didn't actually have to go to the ground because we weren't, because of the way they built this, set piece at the LA Times. We didn't know, there was no way to test it without damaging it. So when I did that jump, I did it for the first time, not knowing what was going to happen. And I thought, you know, am I going to bounce off this? Am I going to flip too far backwards? Am I going to fall far enough back to hit my back, or am I going to hit just my head? So we had a lot of variables. initially, that fall was supposed to be a 12-foot fall, hit the two things and go right to the ground, and which is painful. And to answer your question, you do get hurt. In most of the stunts that you do, you get hurt but not injured. You know, you're going to wake up the next morning, you're going to be sore, you're going to be, you know, achy. But for the most part, you know, it's well calculated. The stunt coordinators do a fantastic job of making sure everybody stays safe, and that's how we like to work.
So what other films? What else? We got Pirates, and was that the first Pirates?
It was the last Pirates. Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. I got to be a stunt double, and I actually got to sword fight with Jeffrey Rush and Johnny Depp in the sequence when they're leaving the Spanish camp where they've stolen the chalice that they're trying to use to get to the fountain, and as they're escaping out, three Spanish guards catch them, and we'll have a brief sword fight and get beat up.
That sounds awesome.
So I'm going to chime in here, Sean, if you don't mind here. Pirates of the Caribbean 5 was announced just recently by Johnny Depp. Any word on whether you'd be part of that project?
I would love to be a part of that project. You know, it really all comes down to a lot of times how many guys are able to use. And usually there's fights. We have what's called ND or nondescript stunts, which means, you know, you got your – in that last movie, Johnny Depp was driving down riding tandem on some horse and carriages, and there's people that just diving out of the way. Those are your, like your ND stunts. Those are your like nondescript stunts or utility stunts. That could be anybody that you want to hire. A lot of times you get really good jobs when you're doubling, when you look like a specific actor, and they bring you in to double that guy. So if there's somebody I can double, then that would be better chance of me getting in. Whereas if it's just an indie stunt, it's just how many extra guys do they need? Usually your doubles will work the whole feature, where sometimes your indie guys just come in for a day or two, or maybe even a week only.
Nice.
Yeah.
Guys. Before we move into your most recent film that's out right now,
mm-hmm.
Timeless. You got. You want to ask my boy any questions?
Well, of course, Randy. Thank you for stopping by Sports City, man. The Inside Dish definitely welcomes your presence here. But
my pleasure.
Thank you, man. And you were actually in two movies that I actually did my research on that I actually love. One is The Book of Eli. I cannot stop watching that movie. That movie is awesome. And it's still to this day, even when I watch it, even knowing the ending, I still don't think Denzel is blind. So for him to kick that much butt in that movie, that was just epically awesome. I love that. And my second movie that I just found out that you were in was also The Shooter with Mark Wahlberg and that mile and a half shot that he pulled off. I'm just telling you, just the movie that you're in is just stunning. Just know that the background that you're in and what we have in the kitchen is definitely awesome, man. And I'm definitely grateful to have you here.
Oh, thank you very much. You know, interesting fact on the Book of Eli, it was an honor for me to be on that film just for the sheer fact that I got to share a call sheet with Denzel Washington and Gary Oldman and some of the amazing stunt professionals that we had. And Denzel Washington did his own fight in that fight sequence. We did the fight in the bar. It was 15 guys attacking Denzel. We trained for a couple of months. Denzel had a stunt double, but he only stepped in for a few close special effect shots where they only needed to see an arm. But that main brute of the fight, Denzel did that himself.
So you were in that fight scene. That was a crazy one. I was hoping you weren't in that fight scene when the guy grabbed his coat. He said, if you touch my coat again, you're going to lose that hand. And when he cut his hand off, I was hoping that wasn't you in that part, man, because that was just sick.
No, it was good. That was a different fight, yeah. But it was a great honor working with Denzel because he's just a fantastic actor. Getting to know him a little bit, you know, we had a chance to chit-chat during rehearsals and training, and he is just a prince of a man. It's times like this that, like, you know, you work alongside them and they respect us as much as we respect them. But sometimes you have to hide deep down inside your desire to go, oh, my God, I loved you in this film and I loved you in this film.
Get a little starstruck.
You do. But at the same time, you're like, hey, you know, they're just people. They're just people like anybody else. And they really want to be treated that way. I know I do. And, you know, like it's awesome. You know, we're projected as these really cool, badass people, but we are just normal people who just have an awesome job.
And also one more question before we throw this around the kitchen, I guess. Your favorite flick that you were in and your favorite flick that Denzel ever played in?
My favorite Denzel flick?
And the one that you've been in also. I want both perspectives.
Training Day. I really like Denzel in Training Day.
Do you really like Training Day? Really?
I did. I liked it a little better than Book of Eli, but not much.
Like honest. So you think Training Day was better than the Book of Eli? Really?
I find at the end of Book of Eli, you have amazing actors Gary Oldman. You have amazing actors Denzel Washington. I wanted as a viewer a little more a little more background on each of those characters as to how they came to be where they were, not just kind of discovering them in the middle of it, and you go, okay, he's the bad guy, he's the good guy. So that's what I wanted more of at the end of that. I felt like, I don't know if they shot, the Hughes brothers were directing, I don't know if they shot it and just didn't use it or what, but both of them are fantastic films, and it was a good honor to be a part of it.
Hey, let's get Guy. I know you must have some questions here for Randall, so let's get Guy get in here.
Is Guy still here? Did we lose Guy?
No, he looks like he's still here.
Hey, guys, sorry about that. Something happened. I want to just say that when it comes to what Randy said, Training Day was an amazing movie. Amazing. So I thought that was awesome. But Eli was just as good because Randy was in it.
Agreed.
Do you have any questions for Randy, Guy?
Yeah, mate. You've done really well with the acting, and it's a lot of people will say things have come quick and everything, but you've said how you basically prepared to be where you were with all the training that you were lucky enough to do as work.
Yeah.
Did you want to be an action kid when you were a kid? Is that what you wanted?
I think we all did at some point. I sum up my job description as I get to play cowboys and Indians every day of my life, and I get paid for it. And I don't know any other industry that you can get that kind of opportunity. And what a lot of people don't know, because they talk about actors and they talk about stunt professionals and they talk about how I think some people talk about how overpaid they are. It's like actors don't just get a job because they walked in and got a job. They have spent years and years and years, as have stunt professionals, spend years and years of our time in gyms, training, bouncing.
Years
off,
and years unpaid.
Unpaid years. Getting to where you are to be able to do that thing. Ben Affleck didn't just get where he is from nowhere. I mean, he had to work, endure criticisms, and look at him today.
Lots of failures.
Lots of failures. You're told no a lot. If you can understand that and know that that's not necessarily the end for you, and one no, then you can move on from there and go to do great things.
Hey, I just want to interject real quick about our callers on the show. If you're trying to call in and you don't get through right away, it's our first show and we've got lots of people calling in. So just keep trying to call in. We will try and get you up on the show. I've seen we've had a couple callers call in and then drop back out because we haven't been able to get to them quite quick enough. But we really appreciate you guys calling. So keep calling in. And now I want to move into Randy. I really want to get into your latest project that's out. I know you're working on other stuff. You're always working. You're always doing something. But the latest film, it's still in theaters in the U.S. You guys can still go out and see it in select theaters. It's going to come out on DVD. It's called The Collection. And, man, you play this nasty, nasty bad dude. This dude is psychotic doesn't even cover it. I mean, it doesn't even touch the surface of what this dude is. This dude's, like, cutting people up and rearranging them and sewing them together. I mean, it's crazy. If you guys like horror films, you'll love this film. It's got a great cast. We got Randall is just this sadistic dude in this movie. So tell us a little bit about that movie.
Well, the collection came to my plate. One of my best friends and stunt coordinator, Hiro Koda, is an amazing amazing friend and stunt coordinator I've been working with for years and years. He asked me one day. He goes, "Hey, I need a guy to play the collector. Do you want to do it?" And I'm like, "Sure." And he submitted me with a few other guys. We sent in some pictures and did some stuff, and then I got selected to play this character. It's a stunt, what we call a stunt acting role. But in this film, I got to be the actor and the stunt person for myself. So that always really helps.
Jackie Chan stuff right there.
I wouldn't compare myself to Jackie Chan, but it really does help when your actors can do a lot of their own action, just because you don't have to cut around it so much, like Denzel doing his own fights and stuff. It just makes things a lot easier. So it was an amazing opportunity to work with the directors, Marcus Dunstan. He, he guided me through this whole process. We shot this film in Atlanta, 2 months it took to make it, and a couple of weeks of reshoots here and there. But I get to play this character what he does is he sets up a home invasion. He used to do in the first movie called The Collector. He would do home invasions, and his things is like traps. He He sets traps for people inside their own house.
And this is from the sick and twisted minds of the people who write the Saw series, right?
Yeah, they wrote the last few Saw movies.
Oh, man, those guys are twisted.
They are twisted, but the nicest guys you'll ever meet. I mean, they're super friendly and super, like, joyous to be around. And in this film, I really had a good time
doing this film. Tell us what your character is, because you mentioned it to me off the air. What does he do? And explain what that is.
Well, if you watch, it's not given to you right, it's not handed to you, but if you watch the film and you kind of pick it apart, you see there's a lot of insects and a lot of weird art, and there's actually a few times where they show like his degrees and diplomas. You would almost have to pause the movie to see it, but you find out later that he's an entomologist.
And what is that exactly?
It's a study of bugs, people who study bugs, and they don't really hit on that in the movie. It's not really the crucial. It's not really crucial importance.
It's creepy, though.
Yeah, it's creepy, but it just kind of alludes to why he may be doing this stuff. And sometimes you don't really need to know all the answers, because if you do, then it takes away some of the mystery and some of the suspense of it. There's a lot of cool moments in this flick.
Tell where can we find out about this movie? I know you can go to www.thecollectionmovie.com. And that's obviously the official website. So make sure you go to the collection movie, MOVIE.com, to find out more about this film. We got to wrap this segment up, but
yeah.
What is the release date on DVD and all that? Do you have that?
I heard March. The DVD may be coming out in March. This film was released nationwide. It was not released overseas yet. So, and I think they'll get it first on DVD. So
look out, maybe March. The film might be hitting the DVD shelves on Blu-ray end of March. So be sure to check that out. Randy, man, we love having you here. Can you stick around for the rest of the segment?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
All right, great. Randy is also an avid sports fan. This guy's a sports nut. He also, he's a hockey nut, I should say. He plays hockey. In fact, he's got a hockey game he's going to go play tonight.
I got a game.
He's going to represent Team USA in the stunt hockey match against Team Canada. Is that correct?
Yeah, USA versus Canada
USA
stunts.
Versus Canada stunts. Man, that's going to be epic.
I don't know who thought that up. That was a horrible idea.
It's going to be fun, though. I can't wait for that. So we're going to move in now to the sports segment here, get a little sports dish going on here with our boy Timeless. So here we go.
You know what time it is. You're about to get your sports on. Tasty, timeless sports dish.
Well, this is my turn. Welcome to the sports dish hosted by your boy TP Timeless. And today, I'm dealing with meat and potatoes. That's right. I'm going to be a little controversial. So get your fork, get your knife, and let's dig in. Now, first and foremost, this has to be a situation that has to be worldwide. So I respect the situation, but then again, I don't respect what's going on right now. With that being said, I am talking about Lance Armstrong in the doping situation. Now, he was at a situation where he captured not only just Americans, but a lot of people that are heartfelt individuals across the globe in a situation where he was fighting cancer. And he goes on a seven-time championship winning streak on the Tour de France and basically had the best story I could ever think of. Now, what, he's a good 6 or 7 years removed. Floyd Landis actually called him out and said that he was doping, and Floyd Landis actually won one of the Tour de France after Lance actually won the F7, and he got caught for doping in the sport. Now, I know a lot of people aren't into cycling or whatever, but that is some of the best cardio you can get if you're in a spin class or just riding a bike in general through mountains or whatever. You got to respect that sport. You know, I don't even talk junk about these guys, but seeing these guys ride through mountains or whatever, but I'm getting off topic here. He finally comes out in the year of 2013 and says, you know what? I'm going to admit it and say that I doped during my stint of winning all of these championships. Now, there's a situation where, one, we all want to see an individual beat cancer. Because that's what he's fighting. He's fighting up against cancer. But two, to make it look like you are that on top of your game and you were using PEDs, being performance-enhancing drugs, and actually kind of, you know, keeping the wool over everybody's eyes and using Live Strong as a situation and making money off of that, not to say that he was collecting funds from that, But just knowing where Lance Armstrong came from with that situation, I want to know how you guys feel around the kitchen. Now, Randy, you are the guest here. So I'm going to come to you first. I don't know if you're big into cycling or if you heard about Lance Armstrong. I know it's been on every news network possible. He went to Oprah to have the interview conducted. I don't know if he was trying to steal tears or just get people to feel sentimental about the situation. But your thoughts, all in all, in general.
Doping, I mean, it's part of unfortunately, it's part of the, I don't want to say it's part of it in the sense that people are, you know, it's just expected. But when someone comes out and, you know, says, no, I don't do something, I mean, I guess they have to say that. But then it usually comes out that if they did do it, it comes out in the end. And it's a little disappointing, but, the guy that he beat that won it the next year was doping too. So if they're all doping, then, isn't it kind of fair?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same thing. You know, obviously it's the big scandal. It's the big, big thing that's going on. And it sucks that it's a part of any of these sports. But everybody, if they went down the line of everybody that competed for all those 7 years and the guys placed in second, third, and fourth were all doping. So it's one of those things where it's really a big, big, you know, tarnish on the sport in general. I mean, I want to know about these guys the last couple of years because, you know, chances are they're doing the same exact thing.
Yep.
Now, Lance Armstrong has done a lot of bad stuff and a lot of lying, but he's also done a lot of good things for people in the world. And it's sad that his, untruthfulness and his deception may tarnish those good things. That's what I'm most upset about with him, is that the good things that he set up and the fighting, the cancer research and all that, I hope that stuff doesn't get too affected by his own
drama.
His own dramas. I really hope that those really positive things that he set up can continue to be positive for people that really have nothing to do with anything other than having an illness.
Okay, Guy, I know you're basically the health nut around here. Like, your thoughts in general about, you know, Lance Armstrong and his situation and how you feel about performance-enhancing drugs in a sport where, you know, I actually spoke to a doctor that actually, you know, condones the use of performance-enhancing drugs. But your thoughts in general. Did we lose Guy?
Did you just call me on, mate?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, buddy. I've read Randy. I'm already a fan of Randy's. I'm talking about him. Lance Armstrong, I've read all these books. And, you know, I'm going to go to different angles on everything, so I'm not repeating the same thing. I've been a professional athlete as a rugby player, a bodybuilder, sports that are known to take drugs. If you think they're taking drugs, they are. So I'm going to get to an attitude of, like, with Lance, what amazes me about him, he was able to pass so many drug tests when they kept their eye on him, when he apparently had stuff in his room, whatever it may be. He passed all those drug tests with all that pressure, all the millions of dollars, all those charities behind him. He had all that pressure on him, and he still continued to win. And like Randy said, that they're all doing, you go down the line, they do it. And they do it because people will do anything they can to win. And the reason it doesn't get caught early is because, say, for America, for instance, they're getting a lot out of having Lance Armstrong as a hero. When he's out of it and he becomes a little more political or whatever, they also then have the power to bring you back down to earth, which they also did to Marion Jones. So when people say, well, they passed drug tests, then why didn't they say it? They can give you a million reasons, but the reasons is that someone has a benefit in not disclosing it at that time. Because if it was, it'd be like, hey, look, I've seen a drug test and say I've failed one. I knew pretty quick that I passed it, didn't fail. It didn't take 7 years to catch up with me. So my hat's off to Lance for competing at such a level under such a heavy amount of scrutiny. And the thing is, he had to say no. He had to say no as long as he could. And that's what God created that. So it's the way it is. He's a mad props to him for what he did. I think in the end, people that are going to... So many of these athletes from the past are going to get caught, which they already are from baseball, that no one's really going to care that you got caught taking drugs, but they're going to consider it who in the end it has tarnished him, but he's still an amazing person and he's still going to have a following.
Agreed.
Now, wait. But I want to hear how you feel about the situation, because all in all, I'm looking at this as, does he use this as a situation of getting people to feel sorry for him? And you know, a lot of people feel sorry for him with the situation that he's fighting cancer right now. But to, like I said, pulling the wool over people's eyes, like you personally, I want to know how you feel about it, you know?
You talking to Grundy?
Yes, sir.
Mate, you know what? In the perfect world, it sucks and it's wrong and it's terrible. But unfortunately, this world's not perfect. He's done so much good for cancer and unfortunately had to endure it to experience it. But look at all the good that he's done for it. You know, he may have been on a sacrilegious remission. We don't know that. But the point is, he could never have done what he did to help all these people, to bring so much attention to this thing that affects everyone. He could never have done it if he didn't cheat, because everyone else is cheating. So for me, it hasn't tarnished him. In a perfect world, they shouldn't have any arms or anything like that. But unfortunately, it's not a perfect world. So you've got to look at the big picture. In a perfect world, what he did was wrong. He should go to hell or whatever you want to call it, but it's not a perfect world. And to me, he's a hero. He did an amazing thing, and he did what everyone else did. And because the higher you climb, the more people want to chop the tree down, and he's going to fall. And the good thing is, Lance Armstrong is a warrior. He's a champion. He's bounced back from so much adversity that this is just another challenge to him, and I believe he'll come through with it, and it's going to be something in a positive nature because he'll turn it into that.
All right, guys. Hey, we got it. We got a couple callers here. Timeless, you want to bring in any callers?
Okay. Well, we got a resident chef in the building. We got CV, a.k.a. the Wednesday Night Food Fight guy, the MMA guy, where Guy Grundy will be alongside with him tomorrow. Cole, welcome to the Inside Dish. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good. Just, you know, getting ready for a good Wednesday and a better Friday. I hear what you guys are talking about. Don't mind my son in the background. But then we got to keep it real. You know, in society, everybody is a little bit altered. You look at Superman, he's not a regular guy. He's got a couple of additions. You look at Wonder Woman, her Wonder Lasso's got a little bit extra. Aleister Overeem, he beat the crap out of Brock Lesnar, knocked him out of MMA, and guess what happened? He popped 30 for steroids. Everybody, it's not that everybody does it. It's really the people that they get caught or they don't get caught. I mean, yeah, the things that he did, the positive things, you know, the fighting of the cancer and all of that, those are definitely admirable, but all those lies that he told, eventually they're going to catch up. It's just like this person that I'll be dealing with on Friday and on Wednesday. When you start telling lies, you got to tell a whole bunch of lies to cover those lies.
Right.
And eventually you get caught.
Let me stir the pot a little bit. He won 7 straight. It wasn't even just one. But it's not like he won one in his 2 years. He won one in his 3 years. He won 7 straight. Now, picture, let me stir this pot. I'm going to make it hot in the kitchen. If you can't take the heat, then get out of the kitchen. Picture Michael Jordan getting caught up with his 6 championships, and they said he used PEDs. Would it be the same considerable situation, or believe me, would they throw Michael Jordan under a bus?
He would be thrown under a bus. I mean, that's probably the only athletic figure you could name that would be a bigger scandal than Lance, probably, just because he was so beloved and considered the best, really the best of all time.
Mm. Or Gretzky.
Gretzky too. That's true.
Right. Or Gretzky too. Oh, Randy, how about you? How do you feel about that, Randy?
About the Gretzky?
Just in general, like other athletes.
Oh, if he got caught. You want everybody on the same level playing field, because obviously if your team doesn't win the Stanley Cup and the other guy was doping, then that's why, obviously. So you know, you don't want to give any reason for controversy. I mean, that's just you can't have it. Although it's present and you find out about it, like universities are having their football players doping and stuff like that. You know, it's just everybody feels like it's cheating and it is, I guess.
Okay, and now my second topic before I could get out of here and let the guy himself do his thing in his kitchen. I kind of got to be controversial now, Randy. I'm going to come back to you because you are the guest. How do you feel about Peyton Manning now. Now, Peyton Manning has been a monster for the past decade or so. He came into the league in 98, and he didn't have a great start in 98. But after that, Peyton has been a household name. Everybody knows him as the son of Archie Manning, even though his brother Eli came in and got two championship rings. But Peyton is always a stat monster at the end of the day. Now, he actually did well this weekend with the Denver Broncos at home up against the Baltimore Ravens, where myself included, with a lot of people out there, were stating that Denver probably should win this game to keep Ray Lewis out of the game. And somehow, some way, they lose this game. And I don't know if he didn't score enough points. A lot of people are trying to blame Peyton. I actually look towards the defense for giving up a bomb that late. But your thoughts on Peyton Manning at the end of the day?
You know, I don't follow football too much, unless it's the Cowboys. But Peyton Manning is just a beast of a player. I mean, that's all there is to say about it. You can't blame Peyton, or you can't blame one. I mean, you know, you can blame quarterbacks, but, you know, he throws the ball, somebody's got to catch it, and they got to be at the right place at the right time. Usually the quarterbacks take a lot of the blame for losses just because they're the head of the team in the sense that they have to deliver that football to them. But, you know, you got your other team is training, and, you know, their job is to stop him, and his job is to score. I mean, I think he just, and he's a nice guy. You know, I think fans can be a little hard on him. Just like any quarterback, you know, we don't let Romo go without his criticisms, and we love him. That being said, you know, Peyton, you know, he's going to keep doing what he's doing, and it doesn't really matter what we think. You know, he's in that spot doing the game, you know, and I'm sitting here watching on the couch, so it's hard for me to judge them. On their performances, what they see when they look down the field is completely different than what I see when I'm sitting on my sofa.
Well, here's what I'm looking at right now. A lot of people always throw the comparison between him and Tom Brady. And this is a situation where I was looking at the Broncos going into
what
this game
what they're talking about?
On an 11-game winning streak. With an 11-game winning streak coming to it and at home, I can see if they were on the road, but the heckle about this situation is people are stating that Peyton can't play in cold weather. Peyton was getting his playoff wins in the dome when he was playing with the Indianapolis Colts. And mm-hmm. that remains true right now. You can't really look away from that situation where Peyton's record in the postseason is under 500. He doesn't perform when the lights are on. He performs when he goes up against teams like your Cleveland Browns, like the Detroit Lions, if you want, the lesser value teams around the NFL where he's going to pick those wins up. When he has the parity in the game where it's those top six teams that are in the playoff position is where he has to fight tooth and nail to make it forward. And that's where this thing is being held at. Now, we do have somebody here, which is the chef, Cole Vick, who is actually talking junk to me. Now, Mr. Vick, you are here to either defend your guy or bash him. I'll let you eat
What's the use in bashing one of the highest level percentages quarterback? Come on now.
Let me finish. I'm sorry. Your show is tomorrow. Now, I'm going to let you take care
of when you pick up the phone, it's our show.
Okay.
Shit like Kool-Aid Man if I bust up in your door.
I'm gonna put you guys in the screen and room.
Okay.
It's good because the naysayers, you know, the media people, the people that really make their pride on bashing people are going to bash him. But look at his career. I mean, I understand when he gets to the postseason, you get those people who clearly wanted more because you definitely had the Denver Broncos who were looking really good throughout the year, and then you just had the Baltimore Ravens who were just going to – They would die for that championship opportunity. There's a difference between your champions and your contenders. You know, there's a difference between Cain Velasquez when he got beat up in 50 seconds and then when he came back, he just put five rounds of a beating on Junior Dos Santos. I mean, I love Peyton Manning and I love what he brings to the table, but I guess that's the reason why Eli Manning grabbed his two championships because even though he's not the greatest quarterback in the universe, he's got the resolve. And that seems to be something towards the postseason that that Peyton seems to lack. Maybe he needs to spend some time with his dad or something like that. Maybe he needs to go in the steam room, no PEDs, and just make something happen. That's the only part of the equation that's missing. is just that finish, you know, that finish, that knockout, that victory. Because he's got, like, four good rounds, like GSP. But it's that fifth round that's just, he's just falling just a little short. Just a little.
Hey,
okay,
guys,
I know I'm running out of time, so I gotta get moving. But Sports City, I'm going to say this quickly before I run out of here. Peyton Manning, awesome quarterback. But right now, from my perspective, you have to remove his name from being mentioned with Tom Brady right now. You have to.
This year, but there's always next year.
He only has about 2 years left in that body.
2 years more than zero. Brett Favre played till he was like 80 years old.
Yeah, but Brett Favre didn't have a neck problem.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys, I'm going to bring in, we have a caller who's been on hold here. I'm going to bring him in. His name is Ricky.
All right, guys, have a good night. I'm rolling out, fellas.
Thanks, Cole. We'll tune in tomorrow, Cole, on the Wednesday night food fight. All right, Ricky, you're on live with us on the Inside Dish.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I just want to say you guys are doing a great job. This show's awesome. Really enjoying listening to it. I just wanted to say I just feel bad about Lance Armstrong because, you know, I mean, it was one of those things everybody's doing it and not everybody won, you know.
So do you think he'll survive this media blitz? Do you think the public opinion will ever
You know, honestly, I just think like everyone's got skeletons in the closet. I think he'll survive it. I mean, the guy whooped cancer, you know. I mean, it just sucks that here's a guy that he wasn't a douche about anything, you know. He's done a lot for cancer research, which everyone doesn't seem to care about unless, you know, they have a family member that has it, and, you know, everyone else just kind of turns a blind eye, and, you know, here this guy is doing all this stuff for cancer. I mean, it sucks. It does count as cheating, but, you know, I mean, if it keeps coming out in the news of what I've seen, and I'm not really that deep into the sports news by any means, but, you know, they say everybody was doing it, but not everybody was winning. So, I mean, it doesn't – people say when you do drugs, you know, you still have – like when you do steroids, you still have to work out. You know, it's not – you're not hitting a magic button to where, you know, it's like, oh, I took this drug. Okay, now I'm winning the race. You know, it does take work, and, you know, it does take different things, you know, to get someone in the process. Like I could take steroids right now. If I don't get my butt off the couch, you know, I'm just going to be, you know, the same looking guy. You know, I mean, I have an amazing body right now, but.
All right, guys. Hey, Ricky, we love having you on. You can stay on if you want, but we got to move into our next segment. This is, we need some perspective.
Perspective.
We got to get some perspective up in here. Guy Grundy's perspective.
Sometimes you just got to change your perspective, mate. Get a perspective from down under.
With Guy Grundy.
G'day, it's Guy Grundy. How is everybody out there in the radio world out there? I'm very proud to have my own segment here today with Sean Pinchinino, Timeless, and then Mr. Hollywood Caesar, and also having an amazing guest like Randy on. It was amazing listening to how modest he is and how well he breaks things down. That's truly a role model, but you expect nothing less from Pinchinino there and what the kind of people he hangs with. So we're going to take another direction in fitness and also Hollywood movie land, and that is with Miss Sasha Brown. I'm so in awe, I can't even say her name right. Sasha is pretty much the new face of fitness. She's turned professional through the IFBB by winning pretty much everything there is. She's now become very marketable, and she's been defined as sexy, feminine, with muscle. So what I'm going to do is turn it over to Sasha, and she can give you a little bit of an insight about her. I've done photo shoots with this lady. I know how hard she can work and the kind of person she is. Sasha Brown, please say hello to the listeners out there.
Hey, Sasha Brown. How are you doing?
Great, Sasha. It's great to have you on there. So,
Thank you. Great to have you on with us.
In
all the fitness, you pretty much just come over here, you've dominated, you've become a U.S. citizen, and how does it feel to be the new face of fitness out there?
You mean back in Ukraine?
No, I'm talking about your new start. I mean, we already know how big you are over there. I'm talking about worldwide here in America.
Worldwide.
Yeah, it feels pretty good. You know, it was a long way for me to get here and start competing because actually some like 6 years ago, I didn't even know that I'm going to compete. And so now I put my goal and I said I want to be IFBB Pro and I said I will not stop until I get this and I did it. So, and I have my next goal now and I got to just keep going. So it feels pretty good.
Now, Sasha, what's more amazing about your story? We've got on very well because we've got similar personalities coming from other countries and suffering the difficulties. And I talk about this a lot of people when they ask what separates you from other people. I'm not talking men and women, but other people. With my green card, a citizenship, I'm listed as a person of extraordinary ability, meaning I'm very good at something. Sasha was awarded the same honour, but she's done all this in her second language. Now, that's what's amazing to me. She's come over here in a second language.
That is amazing.
Is the cream of the crop of the International Federation of Bodybuilders. And that's the signature of, like, the Olympic Four fitness competition. And she's become a professional in 1 year and then the 6 years of training. And in this year, has become, like, the number four girl out there. How has it been, that transition? And how hard has it been with that accent that people haven't understood what you've gone through?
Yeah, it was kind of hard because I came to America in 2005 and I didn't speak any English. And first my 3 months, I was just depressed and crying every day, like, oh my gosh, what I'm doing here, what am I going to do? And I think what helped me, it's fitness, sport, you know, it's what I say, if you make your body stronger, you're going to make your spirit stronger. So I just started working on my body, making myself stronger, and I think it's what helped me to go through all this, you know, learning new English and adapting to new lifestyle, you know, finding new friends, and it was a long way, but I'm happy I did that. It was a good challenge, and I like to challenge myself.
Oh, and you've definitely done that, and you continue to do it. You're in an amazing position where you've, because we're friends, so I know you better than a normal guest, where you always wanted to be someone to help other people for training. You've got a true devotion to helping other people achieve their goals. And there's other things you could be doing because of sponsorship deals, but you want to work with people. You love to train with people. Being in the position you are as a role model, how does it feel and what do you want to do? What can you say to the women out there that may not want to be a world-class athlete, but they want to look sexy and be appreciated?
You know, I remember myself, like, 6 years ago, I had no idea about proper nutrition and proper training, you know. And, yeah, I've done all kind of sports and training, weight training, but I never had, like, specific plan or training, you know. And so when I worked with my nutritionist, Kim Otto, and he taught me a lot about nutrition and training, and I saw what kind of change I can make in my body, I decided to help people, as many people as I can, to do the same, you know, because I just remember how it was hard for me. So now I just help girls from Russia, from Ukraine. I get a lot of emails from around the world, you know, and so I just share my experience, and people feel related because they kind of, I tell them like what I went through and I'm ready to help them. And I feel really good about that. I like to help people.
And it's a sign of the kind of person you are with the dry personality. But a lot of people do say, Grundy's someone who will say you are what you are. Sasha is generally a great person. When she wants to help other people reach goals in their training, she's not saying it because she wants to drum up business. She could be making more money doing other business ventures that I know she has, a thriving Hollywood career. She's got people looking for her to work in movies, but she really does want to give back. So if you can schedule some time with her, I know she's busy, you're crazy not to take that opportunity because you have someone who looks the way that just about every man wants a woman to look, and there's an opportunity there. I wish there was a guy like, but I wish Arnold did that because I would be booking a session with him.
You know, I always can find time for you.
You're awesome. Now, let's get away. You're so complex. There's so much going on with you. You're also, you've done some stunt work, some action, a lot of MMA, martial arts. I've worked with Sean Piccinino on the Lackey, the award-winning movie. We came up with The Brawler, and a character came up, and I'm just like, Sean, you've got to see Sasha. And he goes, the way that I talked about her, and Sean's in charge of casting and whatnot, with Tony Warren, he said, Grundy, if you're talking about her the way you're talking about her, I want her in this movie. So we got her in there. She's working with the U.S. military on weapons with Dustin Wilkins from the Sigma 6 Tactical. How was that scene? You're a bit of a Randy in a way, where he was on earlier saying he brought all these skills to the table and he got paid for it. You've got weapons training, Muay Thai ground. I know I've worked with you on some couple published. It's like you're almost groomed to be an action hero. Is that something that's been in your mind on the journey?
Yes, I love doing this, you know, and I was like probably like 15 years ago, my mom told me, like, you know, you need to know how to protect yourself. So, and it's when I start doing martial arts, and, you know, it's actually saved my life a couple times back in Ukraine, because I'm from a small town, and I had a couple times that, you know, I was in danger, and I'm proud to say that I could protect myself. I didn't ask for help. You know, it feels good. And as I said, I like to feel strong. I like to feel that I can protect myself, you know. And I've done martial arts. I started with Russian style, sambo, jiu-jitsu. It's my favorite. And some judo training. And I've done some training, military training back in Ukraine. And it was something that I was really into. And so when I came to America, I find classes here. I was going and I was keep practicing martial arts. Couple years later, I started doing figure competitions. So it's kind of, I had little, you know, move to another direction. But I always enjoy training and fighting. You know, every time I go, like once in a while, I go back to my jiu-jitsu school and I do a class. Oh my gosh, I love that adrenaline rush. The feeling that, you know, you're strong, you can fight, it's amazing. I love working with you, and yeah, I'm looking forward to work with you more in some martial arts stuff.
Guys, I just want to interject real fast. For the audience out there, the listeners who might not know what an IFBB Pro is, what does that mean exactly? Can you guys just touch on that real quick?
It's International Federation of Bodybuilding. So it's like how to explain something. Like I was trying to explain to my mom, who's back in Ukraine, like what does it mean for me to become an IFBB pro. So it's like what I say, like in every sport, like what you would say for a boxer, like what his goal to get to professional league, right? To be a professional boxer. So the same for me. I was an amateur. I was an NPC amateur competitor. Now I'm IFBB pro level competitor. So I work hard for that. Yeah. So it's kind of you reaching that professional level.
And it's not going to help with sponsorships and all that kind of stuff, correct?
Definitely. Yeah.
Now, getting onto that sponsorship situation, you've been highly sought after. You recently signed with Pro Fight, and you've been seen touring all around the world, America, making appearances. You're pretty much everywhere. I'm working with you tomorrow at the LA Fitness Expo. So not tomorrow, sorry, Saturday and Sunday. Tell us about the Pro Fight deal and what can we expect to see at the LA Expo from Sasha Brown?
Yeah, actually, I know this brand for probably like 4 years, and I love this brand. I love all supplements, and I love the name, actually, the Pro Fight. It just like fits me, you know. So when I got my sponsorship this year, I was really excited. You know, I'm really happy, and I'm proud to represent this brand. And I use the supplements I recommend to my clients, and I'm really looking forward to work at the LA Expo, which is going to be this weekend. I'm going to have my pictures that you can stop by and get at the Profight booth. I would be happy to sign for everybody who's going to stop by. So, yeah, I really recommend to try this brand.
Yeah, I'm with Sasha. I'm also signed with Profight. That's another association we've got together. So also, while we're here on the air, Profight are going to be giving away a $100 supplement giveaway. So I can see we've got a lot of callers out there. I'm going to take number 13, my lucky number, the next caller to get through. I believe Sean will handle that and then make it to me that you'll get a $100 supplement giveaway. So get your calls going in now and tell them Grundy sent you and you'll get through.
So excellent, excellent.
An amazing ride for you, all the things that you've been through. What is in the future for you? What can we expect?
What's in the future for me?
Yep.
Oh, I have a lot of goals. You know, it's like my mom is my inspiration. You know, I always like looking how she's doing, how she's living her life. She has one goal, and as soon as she reached that goal, she just put another one, and she just keep going until she get that one. And it's just my mojo, you know, I never stop, you know. So for me, for now, my main goal is to compete in on the biggest competition. It's Olympia show. It's like for professional athletes, it's top. So I want to get there. And it's just continue to helping people to get healthy and get in shape. I would love to do more action in movies, and hopefully one day I'll get back to martial arts completely. I really miss this part.
I'm going to throw a quick question off to Pete. Sean, you've seen Sasha move and you've got to know her. What kind of impact do you think she can have in this first movie, The Brawler, that you're a huge part of?
I think she's going to be obviously very memorable. She just has that persona. You see with a lot of people, you know, who might train in combat arts, you know, it doesn't matter how good you are in all those areas. You have to be able to apply that, you know, to the screen, but not only from the technical side, it's from the charisma side. She's got that dark, brooding charisma that it just makes you feel like she is an assassin. So I think she's going to be a very memorable part of that production. People are going to be talking about her after the film. They're obviously going to be looking up, who is this girl, blah, 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 blah. So it's going to be great. I'm seeing a Wonder Woman in the future here.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've got someone who's very well known within the inner circle as an amazing scriptwriter and also an amazing exponent of mixed martial arts. He's got more black belts than anyone I know. Steve, what's drooling through your mouth when you think of a few roles that you're going to write her into? What do you see there that you like?
Steve actually had to go. He's teaching a martial arts class as we speak. But I know he was very impressed, and we've already got some ideas for Sasha. Yeah, don't you worry.
And Randy, any advice or any words or tips you can get for Sasha there? Because you've already made it, and she's looking to do what you do in the female version.
Well, you know, in this industry, it's you just have to be persistent, and you know, you just have a level head on your shoulders to keep training and doing what you do. You just gotta network, you know, and that's key and crucial. You know, being in LA certainly helps. You don't have to be in LA to be in this industry, but you know, she seems to be right on the right track.
Awesome. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate it. All right,
guys. Hey, we've got the callers in here. I've got the 13th caller on hold. We're going to bring her in for the Profight giveaway. And just to reiterate, 917-889-9592 is the call-in number for you listeners out there. You want to call in. But I think we have our first official winner of a giveaway here from Profight.
Hello, this is Grundy. Who am I speaking to?
Am I the 13th caller?
All right, Norm, you're the 13th caller.
You're kidding. Whoa. Wow, that's awesome. Lucky
Norm,
13, right?
Hey, Norm, I can tell you've been on radio a lot, mate.
Wow, that's tremendous.
So, Norm, what's your last name?
Witt, W-I-T-T.
Oh, Norm! Norm Witt!
Yes, sir.
Okay. How are you? Norm heard that I was training down at Gold's Gym one night, and popped in to say hello to me, and we became mates ever since, and he's been on the pro flight supplements. Good for you, buddy. Thank you for calling in. That's awesome.
Great show so far. Hey, the joint pain formula is the best I've ever taken for my knees. It's unbelievable.
Awesome, mate. I know you were saying your leg press has gone up like 50 pounds, and you're not a spring chicken.
Actually, 100 pounds has went up.
Well, listen,
and it's
mate.
Been about 3.5 weeks. I use my knees as my car. This is how I get around, so I need my knees more than pretty much anything. And, I work nights, so I don't sleep as much, so definitely this supplement is...
All right, Norm, I'm going to have to cut you off there, buddy. Norm.
Yeah.
You there, mate? I'm going to have to cut you off. I'm going to get back to Sasha. Sean's going to take all your information, mate, and we're going to get that $100 gift pack out to you, and thank you for calling in, and definitely that JBF1 product, something we'll be looking at on the show in the future. Thanks for calling in, mate. Much appreciated. Alrighty, Sasha, that was Norm. As you can see, Norm is a definite radio personality. We're going to get on the pitch, huh?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, I know Norm. he followed me on Facebook. I always happy to see him in every show when I do some demo work. So, I know Norm. I'm really happy that he won this gift package.
Yeah, definitely. He's a great, it's great when someone like that... sits here and calls in. That's good. I'm very happy for him to have won. So, Sasha, we're going to wrap it up here shortly. Guys, any questions you've got for Sasha out there? Because, I know her so well, but I also know there's some questions out there. Anything you guys would like to know or suggest or you've got out there that you want to ask?
Me personally, I just like to say thank you for stopping by Sports City and getting your plate in the inside dish. I must say, I feel like I'm privileged to have you here in the kitchen, and Guy is one fortunate monster to get you here. But we got to get you here more than often to spread the word and see what you got on your mind and perspective, whether we're going to talk about movies or whatever you got on your plate, we're going to throw around the dish. But I definitely appreciate you stopping by. And I also been checking out the pages that you have on Facebook, and I'm actually looking at your fitness, nutrition, workout situation. So everything that you have going is definitely intriguing. So thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, Sasha, for those that want to get you and get in contact with you for appearance, training, nutrition, diet, and movie work, what is the best way for them to do that?
You can find, I have two websites. It's www.sashabrownsfitness.com. and SashaBrownPT.com, personaltraining.com. I would be happy to answer any question about nutrition training. So just send me email or find me on Facebook. We'll be happy to help.
Awesome. Now, there's a lot of avenues for you to explore, and we definitely want to get you back on the show to get your perspective, because you bring so much to the table, not just the fitness world, but also the Hollywood aspect. So thank you so much for coming on, and Sasha and I both look forward to saying hello to you guys out there at the LAX Expo on Saturday and Sunday at the Pro Fight booth. Please stop on down. Sasha, lovely having you in. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks, Sasha. We appreciate you being on.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
So, Sean, what are we at now, buddy? Where are we taking this show?
You still got the mic, my friend, for a couple more minutes.
Cool. So I wanted to just elaborate on who I am and what I'm going to bring to the table. I grew up on the street. I've done a lot of fighting all my life. And long story short, it was a bit of a changing period for me when I met Sean Piccinino. 2 years ago, I was looking at 15 years to life, and I was held on over $1 million bail for, I believe, suspicions to mafia activity and whatnot. Obviously, I wasn't guilty of that, but I have not been an angel. And
I can pretty much say Sean has been an angel for me. He cast me in The Deadliest Warrior, which I believe Randy was a part of as well, which is a life-changing thing for me. Sean went out of his way to keep getting them to put me in the show because there was concern, which there should have been, about my reputation and whatnot. And Sean got me onto the show, and then I went to Shutter Island. I got to work on CFI New York. The Lackey has become something that I'm so proud to be a part of, and now we're working on another venture together. So I just wanted to say I'm very proud to be a part of this show, be with Sharon, with him on other elements. And I just want to say to Sean, there's a lot of love there. I know I muck around with it and everything, but it is genuine.
I appreciate it, mate, and you know it goes right back at you.
And just so everyone knows, a lot of all of the work that goes into this show, getting me on the phone, getting ready to bring guests on, Sean is the backbone to all this. He's an amazing man in the sense that I always say when people go, Grundy, you need to know this, and they're surprised at the things I don't know. I said, mate, I don't need to know it because I know Sean knows it. I just need to know what I've got to do, and that's my part of the business. So Sean has a rare talent. So anyone out there in Hollywood that's looking for a director, looking for someone with all his special talents, this is someone you need to work with, and that's why he draws so many good people to him.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And, hey, listeners, if you guys want to see Grundy in action, he is a big part of our feature film that's about to release here called The Lackey. And if you want to see some trailers on that and some scenes, there's a couple great scenes up on the website with Grundy, a boxing scene. You can check that all out at thelackeymovie.com. And that's Lackey is spelled L-A-C-K-E-Y and then M-O-V-I-E.com, thelackeymovie.com. You guys can check that out. You can also look it up on Facebook, Google it, you'll find it, and some really great stuff. And Guy is all over that movie, and he plays a great character. Grundy, early on impressed us so much. We wrote his character, Steve Pisa and myself, wrote him a character into the film. And we didn't even change his name. We just said, this guy's name is Grundy, and we're not changing it. So we even kept his name, and that's how much he impressed us. So, but yeah, you guys can check that out. We've loved having everybody up on this show. It's been a blast. Our very first show ever has been tremendous. Timeless, what do you got? We got to pitch some Sports City Chefs over here.
Just like it was stated, awesome show. I know we got to close out pretty soon. We're running down on time. Thank you, Randy, for stopping by and giving us the time that you can give us. Hopefully we can get you back here, especially after the collection situation actually takes off and starts flying, because believe me, I'm a big-time Saw fan, and I want to get more involved in what you got going on, and you've been in a couple of big-time movies that I like also. So it's great to have my chefs, my brothers. I don't even call them friends, man. They brothers to me, even though these guys are all the way on the West Coast. I got to deal with it. But check us out. Every day we got a show going on. The Inside Dish will be here on Tuesdays until further notice, unless you guys give us some notes in the email or sportscitychefs@gmail.com and let us know we need to get some more dishes in Inside Dish. Then I'll have to talk to these boys, see what we can do. But
I just wanted to say real quick, you guys can check them out at sportscitychefs.com, and you can also listen to all their shows currently on my websites, like seanpeachnino.com. I've got a embedded link right in there. You can play all Sports City Chef shows on there, as well as on trulyindiestudios.com. I mean, we're pretty much working this network right here. And I just wanted to say, thanks so much to obviously Randy Archer and Randall Archer, and Sasha Brown for coming on the show. I wanted to thank all of our sponsors. We got iStunt.com. It's really helping us make the show possible. Truly Indie Studios, like I mentioned, Sports City Chefs. You got GuyGrundy.com and AKFColorado.com, all making the show possible. It's great. And real quick, I wanted to mention next week we've got some awesome guests again on the show. We got Michelle Lee. You've seen her in Pirates of the Caribbean, on Stranger Tides, CSI New York, CSI, the regular CSI Blood and Bone. She was on the cover of Inside Kung Fu magazine. And we also have Ariana Manta coming on, another IFBB pro. She's a fitness model and nutritionist, another great guest. Grundy's going to be doing his thing with her. So we love you. Thanks for joining us on this show. Anybody else want to say anything before we hit this outro?
just looking forward to bringing the people what they want to hear. So please, we are here to please you. So get to us. Tell us the segments you like. If you don't like something we're doing, we'll change it to cater the show to you. We're still going to be ourselves, but we do want input from you. What do you want from us? We have contacts in Hollywood, in sports. What is it that you want to see? Because what you want to see and hear is we're going to bring you.
All right, we're out of time, guys. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Check us out on Facebook.com/The Inside Dish.
Thank you for listening to The Inside Dish. This program brought to you by Sports City Chefs, iStunt.com, GuyGrundy.com, AKFColorado.com, and Truly Indie Studios. Once again, thanks for tuning in to our program. Hope you enjoyed your stay on The Inside Dish.